The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Keeping your mind, your mission on your mind. You can hear it every single Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Central Time, no matter where you're listening. Of course, the majority of our listening audience right here within 100 miles of the Birmingham area, which is where our Ground Central is. But we have people listening all over the country and all over the world. Of course, he's Michael Coleman. He is the CEO, 35 counties they cover in the great state of Alabama for the Montgomery Food Bank. Michael, how you been, brother? Everything good?
Really ramping up for the holiday season to make sure we don't have any hungry families out there. And so staying incredibly busy, but I always got time to talk to you, brother.
I love that. Well, we're going to talk about Elon Musk today. And this show obviously is going to be podcasted, so people may be listening to it after Thanksgiving. But with the holiday season, we'll throw Thanksgiving and the Christmas season. I do imagine this is crazy. I know when I ran a 501c3, the majority of the time we raised money and funds for people was around the holidays because they wanted to get gifts. And quite frankly, because when it gets cold, there are other necessities that you need that normally you would not need during the summer months. Just talk about that a little bit with the Montgomery Food Bank.
Yeah, well, we're no different than most nonprofits. I know we have people from around the world that might pop in and may not understand our structure a little bit, but you know, for tax purposes, people give for all sorts of reasons. Number one, because they're passionate about the issues that the nonprofit's dealing with, and so we have that. And then sometimes at the end of the year, it's just part of our tradition, especially down even more so where we are. You just grow up being taught to think outside of yourself and to give to your neighbor. And so a lot of people try to kill two birds with one stone. I want to give. I want to help people, but I can also take it off my taxes. So This time of year is a really big deal when they're thinking about people less fortunate. And then when they're also thinking about, well, after Christmas, that's behind us. You got a week. And then the year closes out and the tax man's right around the corner, April 15th. So we just had incredibly generous people in our community who say, yeah, I want to make a difference, and this is the best way I can do it. And so, yeah, up to most nonprofits who rely on donations and aren't necessarily 100% grant funded by the government, you can bring as much as 40-45% of your annual income.
Wow.
Comes on November and December alone. So it's a huge time for giving.
That's crazy. He is Michael Coleman. He is the CEO of the Montgomery Food Bank over 35 counties. You know him from the Jimmy Hell Mission. That's where he came from. And of course, this is Mission Minded. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We do get emails to the show. Feel free to fire them off. We'll read them as we get them in. And also, of course, wherever you get your podcast, we're on every major indice out there. No matter where you listen to your podcast, you will find Mission Minded with Michael Coleman. All right. So we have had a lot of just dynamic conversations about new bosses coming into the workplace. We actually did a show about different types of bosses, which is actually kind of funny. It was great. We've talked about how to change the culture in a business when you have a new guy coming in. We've all been in that situation where a new GM comes in or new boss, and we all kind of freaking out. And golly, if you're not doing your fair share of the work, you need to buckle up a little bit and get it on. Now, Elon Musk comes into the Twitter world. And just several of the things that are happening. I don't know what your thoughts are on Elon Musk. I know he's a polarizing individual. I know some people love him, some people hate him. Of course, he's reinstated a bunch of accounts, including Donald Trump's, but not Alex Jones. He has laid off or fired 7,500 employees. The West African nation of Ghana has got labor laws saying that he owes them severance for people that are working. And we think that the Twitter is an American company, right? I mean, it's right. It's worldwide. And then, of course, he recently came out and said those who stay are going to work very, very hard at a high intensity level. And some people didn't know how to take that. He basically gave them till this past Thursday to say, yes, I'm all in or I'm out. Get out. I don't want anyone here that's not willing to. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means 60, 70, 8 hours a week. I know that he works very, very hard. He's all over the place. And then to kind of go along with that, to paint the entire picture, Twitter has actually done really, really well this year and last year. They have made about $5 billion this year so far, $5 billion last year, $3 billion the year before, but they're operating at a net loss of roughly $200 to $400 million. So, I mean, they're making the money, but they're also operating at a loss. Right off the bat, first of all, what do you think of Elon Musk? What's your thoughts on him? Are you biased towards him? And obviously, we'll get into exactly what he's trying to do to turn around Twitter's earning power.
Well, it's just exactly what you said. He is very polarizing. And actually, my opinion is polarized, because I find myself there's some things that he does that I would give him an A+ for. And then there's some things that I would at best give him a D-, but lots of Fs. And so I find myself, there's nothing middle of the road about him. And I'm sitting back evaluating him. I think he does some things really well, and I think he does some things really poorly.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that he does really well is he does not give up. And I don't know his past. I don't know if he was a broken man when he first got to be a billionaire. And a lot of people would say, you know, he learns from his failures, which he does. And then he just keeps after it until he ends up having successes, much like you would say maybe his Tesla company has had. But a lot of people would say, well, yeah, if I had billions and billions of dollars and continue to pour money and resources into something, I could make it work too. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, so I think this is one of his strengths. I think he's a visionary. Mm-hmm. And I do think it matters that he has the resources to be able to continue to fight battles. I mean, there's a lot of people like that may say, you know, I see the light, I see where I want to take something, but don't have the bandwidth financially to be able to make a lot of mistakes and continue on. Lots of times we make mistakes and we're like, hey, we're out of capital. Can't get anybody else to invest in what we're doing. And so that idea just dies, or somebody else takes it. He has the ability to do some trial and error things. But I think just the fact, if you look at, you know, him stepping into the electric car arena back when it was, you know, not the way it was, not as accepted as it is today. So he was a leader in that, kind of stepping out and fighting through some of those obstacles and getting support and turning himself into a, well, let's just say he built his reputation. He didn't, it wasn't given to him in any way. He earned it. And then he was able to branch out into satellite deliveries and then internet. And one of the things I thought was so cool was in helping Ukraine, mm-hmm, by making internet available, because Russia had shut down all the communication systems coming out of there. And so he was able to allow them to continue at no charge get access to the internet, share files, and just all the things that go with that. So he does some really cool things. And of course, he spent some time talking about going to Mars. I've never really understood that aspect of him. I'm not a space geek. I just struggle to understand the benefit. I know some people say, yeah, we're not going to be able to live on this earth in another million years or whatever, or however long it is, whatever they project. And so he stays in the area of big ideas. And of course, my ideas are I spend a lot of time in that space as well. Obviously not to the capacity he does, because I don't have the resources or access to the capital that he has, but I understand it. It's a big, there's a big idea in my world. And so I tend to want to stay in that and think about what can be. And it's a very optimistic time. It's a very exciting time. And he naturally just does very well in that space and has proved himself to be very valuable to the country as a whole, and also to, as we see, to the world.
Well, let's be real here. When you got people that are on, we'll say, in front of the curve, right? They're onto the next step, and they're successful because they are thinking outside the box. But for someone like Elon Musk, he's like 3 or 4 or 5 or maybe 100 curves ahead of us. And when you come up with things and ideas that are so far out, and pun intended, when you're talking about the Mars issue, it does seem a little crazy. And quite frankly, billionaires are just eccentric anyway. I mean, their minds don't think the way they do. You look at Einstein, you look at Tesla, you look at some of the brilliant minds that we've had in the world. And by the way, thanks to Elon Musk, people are listening to Tony Curry Radio in the Ukraine. We have about 4,000 listeners there, and it's thanks to him. And we have Russian soldiers who listen to us as well. So we want to thank him for that listenership. Let me ask you this. Normally when a guy, normally at any other business, you're talking about a business that is regulated and it's across a country. Maybe there's offices in every major city, and you have a guy and yeah, he's got his hands in a little bit. But you're talking about top of the top, one of the richest men in the world, running his own institution and business. And normally you would find a guy like that who would delegate power to all of his minions underneath him and then fire them as they go, as they don't get their job done. He has really got his fingers in everything he's doing with Twitter. Do you like that? And does that work?
Well, I will tell you, I think, again, I just relate it from my own experience. And this is the part that I would actually give him an A+ in. And it's a little bit complex, or it's not as easy as he's a micromanager or he's not a micromanager. If you think about it, while he's spending countless hours at Twitter, you know, somebody has to be entrusted to run Tesla, and somebody else is dealing with the satellites. They're keeping him abreast, I'm sure, but he can't micromanage all those corporations. And right now, he's focused on, and I've seen some of the tweets he sent out, some of the information, he's focused on Twitter. And so when you look at it, you're like, well, okay, why is he spending so much time? Why does he just delegate it down? And I will tell you, this is where I give him the high grades, because I've been in a similar type situation, although incredibly smaller than that. But if you think back for a second, Twitter, I don't know if you're politically, where our audience leans left or right, it doesn't matter, but I think it's well established that the employees at Twitter put a lot of pressure on the previous leadership, that they terminated speech. And you could have a separate discussion as a private company. You know, is that prudent? Is that wise to do? But the bottom line is they were cutting people out who would say or do things that they didn't agree with. And so they were kind of screening those people out. And when Elon Musk came in, he was actually told, he was given a memo by the HR that said, this is how you lead this company. And that just, that bothered me to so end, to think about walking into a company, you're the leader, and the employees are going to tell you how to conduct yourself. Here's the culture here, and you have to adapt to the culture rather than changing the culture yourself. And so he recognized he couldn't just delegate this down. I think he realized when he came in that from his perspective, it was a broken culture. And so when you're dealing with a broken culture, you're going to have to enforce yourself into every area to make sure that that change is not only occurring, but continues to occur. Because what can happen is, let's say he were to come in and call all his leadership in and give a presentation. He says, all right, we're changing this, this, and this. Well, if he leaves and goes back to Tesla, those people are not going to take somebody else's vision and make it their own typically and then start changing all that is. They're going to revert back to who they were. Now, if Elon Musk says that's not the culture I want, he has to stay there so he can continue to cast his vision, cast the culture that he wants, and apply a gentle pressure, if you will, although I don't think that's what he's doing, but you apply pressure. And sometimes you have companies or you have organizations that the culture runs so deep, it's not a matter of just simply, hey, we're going to change things and do it this way. You actually have to root people out of that and show. And I think what he did was he came in and said, listen, I don't like what this company is. I purchased it. I'm the owner. So what we're going to do is we're going to change this. And then people started threatening to leave. And he was like, okay. I don't think he was okay with the idea that he's going to lose engineers and all of that. But I think it was a risk that he knew he had to take, because as long as they were here, he was not going to be able to ever get them to change the culture. And so sometimes you have to make hard decisions. So I give him the A+ on number one, knowing what kind of culture he wants. Number two, being willing to go there and dedicate the time and attention that's necessary and be willing to take risk in that there may be some glitches along the way in this transition, but he basically is weeding out those who feel like they're the ones who own the company just because mm-hmm. they work there. And so he's breaking all that apart. He's getting rid of people. He's telling them, you have until this time to decide, are you going to get on board with what we're doing, or are you going to have to leave? And as entrenched a culture as Twitter previously was, I don't see that that could have been changed with a less dramatic approach.
Yeah, and I don't think that Elon Musk could have come into this situation and made, obviously they had over 10,000 employees. He's not going to make everyone happy. And let's remember something here. If you're running a McDonald's, and every one of your McDonald's employees has a social media platform, it's going to be very difficult to find all those people and what they're saying about your company. When you're working at Twitter, it is the social media platform. So you know every stinking person that is pissed off about something is going to be right. saying something about your company, and it's going to get out there. And a lot of people are saying, hey, listen, they think they're being fired because of some of the things that they posted on Twitter. I doubt that he's fine, unless he's got... He's paranoid, and he's got people that are actually looking at every account of every Twitter employee to make sure they're not saying bad things about the business. I would think that maybe if they have something bad to say about the business or the way he's running it, come to me, much like you, Michael Coleman, and give me a solution. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Now, again, when you're talking about a worldwide company, I do want to ask you something really interesting, because I really love your acumen when it comes to business. And I know you've started your own business and you've worked a lot of businesses. Airbnb, Dropbox, Peloton, Uber, Zillow, Twitter, they all lose billions of dollars every single year. Uber lost $13 billion last year. Explain to the average layman out there, and maybe the Tony Currys of the world, that obviously I don't have that type of money to lose every single year. Most cases, if you have a restaurant and it's losing its ass for 3 years, you close the doors. Explain how these businesses continue to stay open.
Yeah, so it's a lot like when you, on a very small business, you're right. Your mom and pop shops, you can't continue to actually lose money. But when you look at sometimes, lots of times they report that based on what their tax returns show. And so you may be losing money on paper, but in reality, still making a business go. So I'll give you an example. So by the time you're able to take your cost of goods sold and all your overhead and your payroll and all that kind of stuff, you really minimized your taxes. When in reality, you may be making enough to live on, but on paper, it looks like you're starving. And but when you get into the corporate level, I mean, people would talk about Jeff Bezos. Amazon never paid any federal tax. And of course, they did on payroll, but any federal tax at the end, it's because they are they're constantly building buildings, they're buying new vehicles, increasing their workforce. And so all that goes into depreciation, and you get all that cost, and when it all kind of lots of times will wash out in the end. So that even though people are becoming billionaires because stock prices rise, that's not necessarily money in their pockets. And so that's one dynamic. The other dynamic, and I'm really not an expert on that aspect, but I've sat back and just kind of asked some of these very same questions. And the reality is lots of times it's a paperwork drill where you get the right attorneys. I'm not talking about anything unethical. They're just taking advantage of the laws as they're written. And it's written that way for a reason, so that companies can thrive in America. Now, I've heard people sit back and go, well, Amazon didn't pay $1 in federal tax. And so, you know, we need to change the tax structure to say, if your gross is this amount, billions of dollars, whatever, you have to automatically pay X amount of dollars, a millionaire tax, whatever. That's a separate issue.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this, what we don't appreciate enough is the fact of the Amazons in the world, that all the people that they hire,
yep,
all the risks that they take on, all the vehicles they buy, because you got to think about this, if they buy a truck, they're buying it from a company to support workers who built that truck.
Yep.
They're hiring engineers to constantly work on their systems to make it easier and more affordable for people to order things. So it's not like they're just putting it out there and then just raking in the dollars and just bathing themselves in $100 bills. They have to understand it's part of an ecosystem, an economy, to where everybody along the way is also benefiting from their jobs and the health care and everything else that goes with that. So it's, you know, it's just so, it's always so easy to blame big business without understanding all the people who are dependent on Amazon. I'll give you another good example. You know, Walmart is people love to hate on Walmart, big corporate Walmart, and they don't pay enough and they don't do enough. Well, the reality is Walmart, it has a foundation that's very generous, but they also, and I see this every day, they give truckloads of fresh produce, truckloads of frozen meat, truckloads of canned goods to the local food banks every single day to help take care of those who are hungry and fighting food insecurity. And, you know, they don't parade that out in front of everybody's face, but without the Walmarts of the world, without the Publix, without the grocery store chains all coming along and helping fight this, our neighbors would be hungry. And so lots of times it's just easy. They're an easy target to blame big business, but we have to have an appreciation for the impact they're making. So let me just say, all that donated food, they do get to take that off their taxes. And so it does help them pay a lesser, it incentivizes them to give more to the community and allow them to not have to bear the full brunt of that. But that's how our tax code is written. And so, you know, we have just a lot of great people doing a lot of great things. And I know if you just focus on that one thing, it can be frustrating and feel like they're not pulling the weight as a citizen or as a, you know, an American company. I just have a different perspective on that. I tend to see all the jobs that they create and all the good that they do in our society.
Well, and to your point, Michael Coleman joins us here from, of course, the Montgomery Food Bank. He's the CEO down there, formerly the Jimmy Hill Mission. info@tonycurryradio.net. This is a mission minded, keeping your mind, your mission on your mind. Of course, you can hear the show every Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock Central Time right here in the great state of Alabama and wherever you get your podcasts. Our country has done that. I mean, Herbert Hoover, what did he do in order to jumpstart after the Depression? We decided we wanted to build the Hoover Dam. I mean, it's something that needed to be done, but Roosevelt realized it. And you know, a lot of times, a lot of people will say, you know, we need to go through a good war to ramp up our economy. It's true because it puts a lot of people to work. And I'm betting that our government probably isn't paying the taxes that a big business would do when they're employing 35,000 people to build the Hoover Dam. So to your point, that certainly makes sense. I think it's really interesting. We're so knee jerk, and I get it because it makes headlines and it's clickbait. When Elon Musk came in, I knew it was going to hit the fan, and you knew people were going to have an issue because there's probably out of the 10,000 employees they had, maybe a third, maybe even half of them weren't happy with their jobs, like so many places are. And they're different people in the fact they work in that technology and they probably work alone. But I always I think it's really interesting when you're talking about a type of like Elon Musk, and he comes in and says, "Listen," he knew exactly what he was doing when he said, "Listen, you're going to work your butt off, and you're going to work at high intensity, long hours." Obviously, we have regulatory things on how many hours a person can work and the type of things they can do at work. And I know people take things at home too. But to me, and I think you kind of go along the same lines with me, I look at that and go, great, because we're going to go ahead and strain out the people that don't want to be here. We're going to get the weaklings out of here. And if that bothers you, if your boss walks in, and I've had GMs walk in and say, "Listen, your job's not safe. I'm looking at every position here, and I want to see what's happening, and your past is in the past, and I want to see the future," and we get a neater, and there's a lot of eye rolling, and yeah, there's a lot of, you know, people hitting happy hour a little early when that happens. But for the most part, the cream will rise to the top, and I want to be one of those people that's part of the cream.
Yeah, I've seen it where situations are so bad, the culture is so toxic or so... is such a deep despair and so ineffective that sometimes you have to just bite the bullet and make drastic statements like that. And I imagine, at least from his perspective, that's how he felt the culture was, that the old, the fox running the hen house kind of thing. I've seen organizations where the employees are running the business, and it's a tail wagging the dog kind of thing, and that's not healthy. It's not good. And so I think that was the dynamic, and he came in and flipped that dynamic around. Now, what's interesting is what's reported about him is depending on you'll see news organizations or newspaper websites will be very sympathetic towards the employee side. And if that's where they are naturally in their politics, then they're going to always paint Elon Musk as the devil. And no matter what he does, they're always going to paint it in the worst possible way. So it's tough for him sometimes to get some good press. But I will tell you, there are times. So like I said, I give him some A pluses. I think I've pointed out that. But I'm also going to give him an F. And let me hit on that real quick. What he did something that just bothered me to no end. So he goes on a podcast with Joe Rogan.
Yep.
And Joe Rogan has a, you know, wildly popular podcast. And Joe Rogan had somebody else at the table, and it was Elon Musk and one of Elon Musk. I'm just going to say the person in charge of diversity. It's probably not right, but and she was a person of color, not African-American. She looked more from a maybe from Indian background, Pakistani, something of that nature. But anyway, she was talking about that there were some failures. And I think she understood that Elon was sitting right beside of her. So they've got the headphones on. They're speaking into the mics, and she picks up the conversation where the video did, and it said, looking back on it, I think there were some mistakes made. And when she got done talking, right in the middle of the interview, he turns to her and says, well, there's a cost to mistakes. You're fired. Right. And so the camera goes around the room, and Joe Rogan's mouth is just wide open, eyes open. And anybody can find this on YouTube. And then, you know, and so it was this tension in the room that what's going on? Like, wow. Is this real or is this a joke? And that she, so she looked and realized he was serious. So she just took her headphones off, and it looked like she left the room. And so when I step back, I go, he publicly, my guess is he already knew that he was going to do that. Mm-hmm. And my guess is, I mean, and my feelings are, you could have dismissed her, but he wanted to prove a point, and he did it by publicly humiliating her. And regardless of whether she made mistakes or not, regardless if he was going to fire her, I think what happens sometimes through all this is he's not a great leader. He's a great visionary, but a great leader, I think, has to be somebody that people follow you, not because you're nice to them, but you have to me, you just have to have a general respect for people. And I don't take pride. I have fired people everywhere I've been. I don't take pride in firing people. I do it because I believe it's a last ditch effort to do what's in the best interest of the company. But I try to give everybody all the chances I can. And the reality is to put somebody out there like that did not speak well of him as a leader and did not speak well of him as a person. Now, again, it doesn't take away what a great visionary is and that Twitter had some unique challenges to come in. And I get it, flipping the culture around. But to expose somebody like that and then bring them down in such a public way when she was not approaching him in an adversarial way, at least in this interview, I just cringed when I saw it and said that's not good.
Maybe she turned him down for a date right before the show.
Maybe so. Maybe that was.
I live in this world where I hear things, I go, that's horrible. And then there's always two sides to every story. It may be 99% one side and 1% of it. But I'm thinking to myself, maybe she did something to him that was a fireable offense. And he was like, you know what? This will be the last time this ever happens in your life. And so even then, it was probably not the best way to go about that. So
yeah,
great stuff. Hey, Michael, thank you so much for your time, man. Great show. We'll continue to do this here, Mission Minded. We do it every single Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time. And of course, a lot of people listen to us on our podcast. Tens of thousands of folks download the TKR app. We greatly appreciate listening all over the world, certainly around the Birmingham area. But if you want to listen to the show, and we've got 40 or 50 shows up now, check out Mission Minded on Spotify as well as every major industry. We're out there on our podcast. I greatly appreciate you, brother. Happy holidays to you. I love you, and we'll talk to you soon.
You as well, and happy holidays to everybody out there listening. Thank you for taking part in it.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.